15, we asked you to look at the fourth chapter, see verses of that. What about nothing? About nothing. Our Father, we thank you, God, for the opportunity we have once again to share your word. God, to receive instruction from the Holy Spirit to teach us all things. We ask you, God, to open our hearts to receive what you have for each one of us. We know some of the things that we're going to be sharing may be hard to hear and may be hurting in some way. But I pray, God, that the healing will come through the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in the lives of our people, those that hear this message today. I just thank you, God, in advance for what you are going to do in life and how you are going to touch and change lives today because of your word. And so, God, anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Oh, there was one more prayer request, I'm sorry. Maxine, our precious lady just over there, is going to be having a pacemaker for them on Thursday. She's just a truthful, elderly lady in our church. Please pray for Maxine, okay? God loves her very much. And Lois Fritz, another one of our seniors at Northgate, I saw her yesterday. We had a good visit. She had a shoulder operation. Kind of like I can relate to that a little bit. And she's doing well. It's difficult to get around, especially after surgery on the shoulder. By the name of Richard and Maurice McDonald. And they converted what was their barbecue drive-in with car hops. They converted it into the world's first McDonald's limited menu self-drive-in service in San Bernardino, California. One restaurant serving one community.
But in 1955, a man by the name of Ray Kroc mortgaged his home, invested his entire life savings to become the exclusive distributor of a five-spindled milkshake maker called the Multi-Mixer. He heard about this McDonald's hamburger stand in California that was running eight Multi-Mixers at one time. So he packed up his car and he headed west. Ray Kroc said he had never seen so many people served so quickly in all his life. He walked into the restaurant, met these two brothers, and offered them one single idea. He said, "Why don't you open more than one restaurant?" Because he was convinced that he could sell at least eight of these multi-mixers to every one of those restaurants. They said to him, "Well, who could we get to open them for us?" And Ray Kroc answered, "What about me?" So in 1955, Ray Kroc opened the first McDonald's franchise in Des Plaines, Illinois, the very first one. And you know, as the saying goes, and the rest is history. The rest is history. And according to the prophet Google, that I checked this morning, there are, listen to this, 36,899 McDonald's in 120 countries, selling more hamburgers than any other restaurant on planet Earth, servicing 68 million customers each day, and employ over 375,000 employees. And Ronald McDonald, along with Santa Claus and Mickey Mouse, is one of the three most well-known figures in all the world. Now, how did this happen? How did it happen? It happened because Ray Kroc understood a principle that's found in the Bible, whether he realized it or not. And the principle is here for us, and that's what we're going to talk about today. It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. In verse 9, very simple, five words that says this: to are better than one. Two are better than one. There is an unbelievable power in partnership that goes beyond addition. It goes beyond addition into multiplication. There's a power that takes place. You know, how many know that the Lone Ranger didn't even face life alone? He had a companion. What was his name? Oh, Tonto. How many know? How many remember Tonto? You remember? Oh, wow. We have a lot of those aged people here, huh? What was Tonto's term that he called the Lone Ranger? Anybody remember that name? Kimosabi. Anybody know what that term means? Oh, no one does, huh? It's a term of endearment. That's what it's defined as. I looked it up. Mr. Google told me, you know. It's a term of endearment. But that anyway, he didn't face life alone. And the principle is God made us all for relationships. And that's what we're going to talk about. He made us all for relationship. Even though he created Adam first, Eve was always on the radar screen, right from the beginning. We're told the exact reason why the woman was created. We're told exactly why she was created. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says this: "It is not good for man to be alone." You see, God knows two things about every one of us that we need to be reminded of today. First of all, everybody needs somebody. You say amen? Everybody needs somebody. And secondly, somebody is needed by everybody. Okay? Loners live lonely lives. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs chapter 18 that says this: "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." Powerful words. Eugene Peterson, the writer of the Message translation, translates this verse this way. He says this: "Loners who care only for themselves," listen to this, "loners who care only for themselves spit on the common good." That's how Peterson translated that verse. And one of the most fascinating things that you'll ever find out about serial killers is that the vast majority of them are loners. They're loners. And that is part of the problem that it's mentioned here in our scriptures in verse 8. Look at verse 8 with me of chapter 4, Ecclesiastes. "There was a certain man without a dependent, having neither a son nor a brother, yet there was no end to all his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches, and he never asked, 'And for whom am I laboring and depriving myself of pleasure? This too is vanity, and it is a grievous task.'" Here's a man who put all of his eggs in the making money basket, so to speak. He put all his eggs in the making money basket at the expense of his family and his friends. You think anybody does that today? Oh, yeah. I worked at Generous Motors for 17 years, and there were people that would never turn down one single moment of overtime, one single holiday. They didn't care what it was. If they could make money, they were there to make money. Whatever their family was going through, whatever, really didn't matter. That's what this person is doing right here. His portfolio was full. His fortune portfolio was full, but his friends and his family portfolio was empty. Putting the riches ahead of family and friends. I talked to Pastor Santos many times. He tells me the same thing that goes on where he works. He offered so much overtime, where to the point where he says, "You know what? My family means more to me. You know, I'm making all this money for what? I don't even see my family." This is what's happening here. Just like Ebenezer Scrooge, this is a person who fails to realize that life is really about two types of relationships. This is what we're going to get into. Two types of relationship: the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with others. Got it? The vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with others. And when you do the math in this kind of an area, you'll discover that 1 plus 0 equals 0. Okay? We're in a series of many series, and we're in a series of messages about nothing. That's what I told you in the beginning. It's about nothing. This is what you heard right. Solomon, the wisest and the wealthiest man who ever lived, wrote this book called Ecclesiastes, which basically says this: without God, all of life under the sun is basically nothing. That's what this book is about. So I want to call this message today, Nothing Personal. Nothing Personal, for this reason. When you think about it, nothing in life is really completely personal. Nothing in life is really completely personal. Someone has observed this, and I thought this was cute, that if you ever saw a turtle on the top of a fence post, the one thing you can know is that that turtle didn't get there by himself. Is that the truth? Okay? The same thing is true for us. We didn't even get here by ourselves. And from that point on, nothing is really completely personal. We're going to talk about relationships, vertical and horizontal. Because the vertical and horizontal relationships are what really give life joy, they give life meaning, and they give life fulfillment. As we're going to see in the following principles and scriptures that we're going to look at. Are you ready? I'm only going to ask you to write one word in your notes this week. Number one, two are more personally profitable. Profitable than one. Two are more personally profitable than one. Ecclesiastes verse 9 says this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. I like it in the New Living Translation also. I read it in different versions, and I wrote this one down. In the New Living Translation, it puts it this way: two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. I like that. Two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. And it's true that two can reach more than one, two can do more than one, two can make more than one, and two can return more than one. Amen? Have you ever heard the saying someone say about a worker, well, he can do the work of two men? Ever hear that? Well, I'll tell you, it might sound good, but it's really impossible. It's really impossible. One man cannot do the work of two men unless the two men are very, 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 very weak men. Okay? Only two men can do the work of two men. But the principle here is that when two men work together, they may have to divide the profits, but they'll each get a better return for their efforts than if they worked alone. Okay? Did you know that the highest paid lawyers in America are those who work in firms and not those who work alone, but those who work alongside other lawyers? They're the ones that make the most money. Okay? What about us? What about us in the church? Every one of us in this church, when we pull together, we can get far more done than any one of us can ever do on our own, no matter how gifted anyone thinks they are or whoever they think they are. When we work together, why do you think Vacation Bible School is so successful? Because we have over 100 volunteers getting involved and pulling together and making this happen for our children. That's why it's successful. Amen? So, has it ever occurred to you that there are three things that we all need, but we can never have alone? We need companionship, but we cannot be a companion to ourselves. We need comfort, but one cannot be a comfort to himself or herself. And we need counsel, but one cannot counsel himself. Two are better than one. Two are better than one because we need to be loved. We need to be served. We need to be comforted. We need to be edified. We need to be exhorted. We need to be prayed for. And that can only happen with personal relationships that feed off of each other. Two are better than one. Amen? Secondly, two are more personally protected than one. Two are more personally protected than one. Verse 10 of chapter 4 says this, "For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up." What is that talking about? To a Jewish reader, he would understand very clearly what Solomon was saying there, because the roads and the paths in Palestine, they weren't paved roads. They weren't even very level at all. There were many hidden rocks and potholes, and that you think that's a road, that's a highway. Yeah, that's what they had. And it was not uncommon for a person to fall and sprain an ankle or break a leg or even fall into a pit. It wasn't uncommon for any of that to happen. In fact, when we relate it to ourselves, as a matter of fact, as you walk down the road of life, the rocky road of life, there are at least two things that could take you down. Sometimes you're going to fall down. Then another time, you might be knocked down. But regardless of whether you fall down through something you do yourself or you're knocked down because of the actions of others, you need someone who will be there to help pick you back up. We need each other to help us pick us back up. Amen? There's an illustration that we can relate to, especially where we live in the north, where it gets cold in the wintertime. How many know that sometimes in the wintertime, when it was really, really cold, that a car battery could lose its charge during the night, right? And you go to start the car and the battery's too weak to turn the engine over. So what's the remedy? What do you got to do? You got to get another battery and hook it up to give it a what? A jump. A jump start. And that's exactly what we need to do for each other here. We need to be ready to give a spiritual jump start or an emotional jump start to those who have fallen. That's what this is all about. One of my favorite movies. It's called 42. Anybody ever see the movie 42? Yeah, what's it about? Jackie Robinson, right? If you remember Jackie Robinson, first black player to ever play in the major leagues. And the first year or the first 2 years in the major league, he faced more jeering, more humiliation from every stadium that he went into. Well, one day the story says he was playing in his own home stadium in Brooklyn. He committed an error, and his own fans began to ridicule him like crazy. He stood on second base with his head down, humiliated, while all his home fans unmercifully just booed him. Well, how many remember what the shortstop's name was for the Brooklyn team? Anybody remember his name? Pee-wee Reese. Who said that? Pee-wee Reese. Pee-wee Reese, yeah. I remember watching these games. Pee-wee Reese came over, stood next to Jackie Robinson, put his arm around him, and looked right at the crowd. And the crowd, the fans grew silent. Jackie Robinson later said, Pee-wee Reese literally saved his career when he just came and stood by him. Okay? That's what we are to do. Okay? That's what we are to do. That's why two are better than one. When one falls, they will be there. Someone will be there to pick you up. Okay? Number three. We're moving fast. Two are more personally productive. Productive than one. Two are more personally productive than one. Verse 11 says, "Furthermore, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one be warm alone?" Now, there's some who think that this refers to married partners who lie down in bed on a cold winter night and they bring warmth to each other. I wonder how many men can relate to that. Anybody can relate to that? Yeah, you want to say, that's for me. You want to quote that scripture to your wife? You know, in the middle of December, okay? I don't know about you, but I don't really like the cold weather, but I don't like to sleep. I'd rather sleep where it's cool than sweat. You know what I mean? I would rather be shivering in bed, put another blanket on, than sleep where you're sweating, okay? All right? Well, the truth is, God does give us partners. In marriage, he gives us husbands and wives. In families, he gives us brothers and sisters. In life, he gives us friends and companions. Why? Because there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. You see, the Bible says there's strength when a man finds a wife. So guys, I want you to really get a hold of this next verse. Proverbs 18:22. All right? Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And all the married men said,
amen.
Come on, all the married men said,
amen.
All right. See, now all the single men, we got to mark that scripture down in your Bible. Okay? Find a wife, find a good thing, obtain favor from the Lord. Then there's also strength when a man and a wife have children. The scripture says in Psalms 127, verse 3, Psalms 127, 3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. What a verse. Children are to a family what, like they say, what arrows are to an archer. They give strength. They give confidence. Amen? We do need warmth in those days when life turns cold. We do need we need help when the winds of trouble blow our way, when we're buried under a blizzard of heartache, or we go through depressions and discouragement, and it freezes our very, very heart. We need that. We need the heat of a hug. We need the warmth of a word from someone who will encourage us. Two are more productive than one. And what we're seeing and what we've seen is what's called the energy of synergy. Synergy is the unbelievable chemistry of working together. Synergy means cooperation. It means interaction. When that takes over, when synergy takes over, when you're working together in cooperation, that the loads are cut in half, but the rewards are doubled. That's what happens when we work together. And when you do the math and you find out that in that kind of relationship, 1 + 1 = 2. Amen? But there's still one more. There's still one more truth about the importance of relationship. And here's where the vertical relationship comes in. All right? Point number four, now you put down three are more personally powerful than two. Three. Look at the first part of verse 12 in chapter 4. And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. Did you know that the first thing Marines are taught to do in preparing for warfare, you know what the first thing is? They're taught to dig a foxhole. Did you also know that they're taught in boot camp to dig a foxhole large enough for two? Why? Because of this very principle that's found in that verse. If one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. That's the truth. Did you know that during World War II, the Japanese conducted all kinds of experiments to find out what was the most effective way to a type of punishment to get information from their prisoners? Do you know that what they discovered was they found that the more effective way, more effective than beating, more effective than torture, you know what it was? It was solitary confinement. Solitary confinement. They found that after putting someone in solitary confinement for a length of time, completely alone, that most of the prisoners would tell them everything they wanted to know. Solitary confinement. You see, when you see someone attack your character or defile your reputation or try to spread a rumor, we need someone to rush to our aid. I know that from personal experience. From personal experience. And I have men like Pastor Tony and my son and people like Pastor Santos that rush to my aid when these kind of things do happen. Friends will take our part while others will try to take us apart. But friends will join with us. You see, two are more powerful than one. And that's why everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs somebody. You know what? If anybody feels they don't need somebody, I don't need anybody, I can handle it myself, then you know what? Nobody can help them. Nobody can help them. Everybody needs somebody. We need each other. I found an illustration that says it so well. It just gives us a remarkable insight into the power of partnership. And here's what it says. How important are you? More than you think. A rooster minus a hen equals no baby chicks. Kellogg minus a farmer equals no cornflakes. If the nail factory closes, what good is the hammer factory? Paderewski's genius would not have amounted to much if the piano tuner hadn't shown up. A cracker maker will do better if there's a cheese maker. The most skillful surgeon needs the ambulance driver who delivers the patient. Okay? And just as Rogers needed Hammerstein, you need someone, and someone needs you. Amen? It is undeniable that two are better than one. Two are safer than one. Two are warmer than one. Two are stronger than one. But the math of personal relationship even gets better when we find out that three are even better than two. And notice the last part of verse 12 where it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Okay? Now, keep in mind that Solomon started with the number one in verse 8. He continued on to number two in verse 9, and he closed with the number three. Did you know that the strongest rope made is a three-strand cord? The strongest rope made. One cord can be snapped very easily. Two cords, you know, require a little more strength, but a three-strand cord is not quickly broken. But guess what? That's true of a rope, but it's also true of a marriage. It's also true of a marriage. A man and a woman can have a good marriage just with the two of them, and many do, but the strongest marriage, the strongest marriage of all, is a marriage where there is three: the man, the wife, and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the strongest marriage. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to wrap this up. You can close your Bibles for a minute. And let me give you another example. We know that, and I thought when I read this, I said, wow, that's kind of interesting. The airline industry, you know, they go through all these crazy times where they're having wars, price wars, and people getting laid off and all this other stuff and all these things going on. Jobs are dwindling and so forth. But there's one job that has proven to be the most secure in the entire industry, in the airline industry. It's not the pilots. And it's not the flight attendants. It's not even the mechanics. The most secure jobs aren't even the highest paid folks in the whole payroll. They are the men and women who carry those orange batons on the tarmacs. I never would have thought that. They are indispensable. Even though pilots are trained to handle any kind of maneuver, you know, they can maneuver a jet in any type of situation, and they get paid top dollar for doing that, they can't park the plane by themselves. How do you like that? They can fly all around the world, but when they land, they are completely dependent on the three-man ground crew that is required by the FAA. All right? There's one that's called a marshal. He stands in front of the plane, and there's one called a wing walker on each side of the plane, and they connect what's called a jetway bridge. When arriving plane must center itself perfectly on what's called a J-line printed on the tarmac. They can't even do that by themselves. So what am I saying? Every time you land, if you're in a plane, you land, just remember that you can fly 1,000 miles or more, but you can't even get off the plane into the airport without remembering that nothing is personal, that we need others to help us get to our final destination. We need help to get us to the final destination. Amen? Nothing is personal. Now, as the praise team comes back up, we're going to get ready to close. But here's what I want you to hear. There has never been a time when husbands and wives need to stick together more than right now. There has never been a time when brothers and sisters need to stick together than right now. There's never been a time when friends and companions need to stick together than right now. There's never a time when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to stick together than today, than right now. What we're seeing going on in the world today, we need to stick together in all of our facets, in every way of life. And I know that some of these things that I've said today, you say, you're here, you say, well, I'm single. Well, you know what? There's a mountain that you have to speak to. And maybe God has someone that is looking the same way you're looking. Maybe to join and have a friend, have a companion, have a mate. I don't know how many are single in our congregation, but if you're looking for a mate, ask God. Ask God to send you the right person. We all need each other. More than ever, we need to remember the importance of having close and personal relationships with each other. And when we do that, we always want to remember that we maximize that relationship by that third party. That third party called the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we put that little picture of a threefold cord in the front of your sermon notes. Remember that a threefold cord is not quickly torn apart in Jesus' name. Can you receive it? Amen? Amen. Let's all stand together. As we go through this book of Ecclesiastes, we're saying that it's a book about nothing. But it sure sounds like there's a lot of stuff in that book, isn't there? We're going to see more and more because we're learning from a man who went through these experiences. And God put it in our book, in the Bible, for us to learn that these are warning signs, these are roadblocks, these are guardrails in our life that we don't have to fall into the pit. Learn from the words of Solomon that apart from God, we can do nothing. Nothing is, it means nothing without God in our lives. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, what you're going through, without God, it means nothing. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I can only understand a little bit of what you're saying. Well, maybe it's because the Bible says some of these things are spiritually discerned. The natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit because these things are spiritually discerned. You must be born again. And that's what God wants to do maybe in someone's life today. If you've never received Christ in your heart, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and say, you know, I realize that I'm a sinner and you died for me. And all you're asking me to do is receive that into my life. You can do that today, and I give you an invitation that if you want to pray a prayer, a simple prayer from your heart, not about the words, it's not about the eloquence of words, it's about the position of your heart. Just bow your head with me just for 1 minute and just pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. I want you to come into my heart right now. Be my Lord and my Savior. I don't understand everything about it, but I know that that's a simple thing that I can do. But you made a way for me to be your son, to be your daughter. And I receive it now in Jesus' name. You know what? That simple prayer, if you prayed that prayer, God heard you. He heard your heart. It doesn't matter what words you said, but He hears the faintest cry of a heart. So if you're here today and you said, you know what, I did that, I prayed that prayer, I just want to meet you at the altar when we close so I can give you a hug. And if you need a Bible, we can give you a Bible. Don't take the Bible that's there. We have another one for you. But if you need a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. Amen? So we're going to receive now our morning offering, our tithes and our offering today. And we want to do it, we always do it as a form of worship because that's what we should do. God says He loves a cheerful giver. We give not grudgingly, but from our heart, hilariously, as we worship Him with this song. What are we doing? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen?
Hilariously.
In Jesus' name. Father, bless the offering, we pray. We thank you for it. Thank you for meeting all of our needs that you always will do. Bless your people as they give now in Jesus' name. Amen? Come on, let's do it.
In my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. When the I'll lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. There is hope in this heart.